Remain standing. Would you please get your Bibles and begin to turn to Matthew, the 14th chapter. First of all, I want to thank God for the opportunity to be able to minister to you this morning. It's always a privilege and an honor to share the word of God. And I thank and I honor my pastor and bishop and first lady for giving me the opportunity to trust me to minister the word to you. Turn to Matthew, the 14th chapter for me, please. We're going to read from the 22nd verse through the 33rd verse. When you reach it, say amen. Matthew, the 14th chapter, verses 22 through 33, reading from the NIV version. And it reads as thus. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. And the boat was already considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them and walked on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "The Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind and was afraid and began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him and saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Let me read verse 31 back over. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt me?" You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The subject for this morning is keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Last year was one of the most hardest and difficult years that we have experienced, especially with the events around our country, as around the world with this pandemic. We have experienced health problems, seeing people getting COVID-19, getting sick with other diseases. We have lost friends, loved ones. We have lost family members, church family members, co-workers, neighbors, and others that we have seen on the news and even hear about. We live in a stormy world, a wave of financial disparity. We have experienced uphill emotion, relationship issues, personal failures threaten to capsize us and to pull us under. Loss of jobs, even the threatening of our companies and companies that we work for being coming belly up to our, the financial economy stress of what we have seen. With all this going on, what do? Pastor preached a message on New Year's Eve titled, if you did not listen to it, I would advise you to listen to that word, "Have Faith in God." Have faith in God. I truly believe that throughout last year, a lot of the saints lost their faith, decreased in faith, and lost their hope. Because many of the believers claim to be truly Christians and claim to be truly saints, but we are not truly rooted and grounded in God. The littlest things that come to our way, it shakes us to the core that we walk away from the gospel. Jesus said, "Have you calculated the cost?" The cost of salvation is a big price. And many of us don't want to go through what we have to go through for that price. I remember the mother of the two sons came to Jesus and said, I want my two sons to sit with you, one on the right and one on the left. Jesus said, it's not for me to give, but can they drink off my cup? The problem with believers is we don't want to drink the cup of suffering. We only want the cup of blessings. But without no sufferings come no blessing. You have to go through something to have a testimony. You have to have a test to have a testimony. Jesus told us to warn ourselves and to have faith in him. He told us, if you have faith of just a grain of mustard seed, that's all you need. It is one of the smallest seed that you can plant. Jesus was preparing us as believers for what's coming ahead. And we're in that time or that season where if you are not rooted and grounded in God, you will surely be drift away. It is not the time for you to walk away from Christian, from being a Christian. It is not the time for you to stop praying. It's a time for you to pray more. It's not the time for you to stop studying your word. It is a time to seek God even the more. It is not the time for you to stop paying your tithes and being faithful. Because some people, when you're not connected to covenant, the enemy can just come in like a flood, and you won't have any standard or a banner to protect you. Tithing is not just about money. It's a covenant. It's just like a married covenant that I have with my wife. It's a covenant to thick and thin. The covenant that we have with God is thick and thin. Whatever you're going through, God will bring you through. Whatever circumstances you're dealing with, God has already got the answer. So I believe that message, have faith in God, was truly one of the greatest messages that I've heard over the last few months of hope and strength and encouragement. Have faith in God. Many of us have faith in pastor. No offense to bishop, because he even said it a few weeks ago or last week, you're calling on the pastor before you call on God. You're calling on the minister before you call on God. You're calling on your neighbors or your friends or your cousin before you call on God. The first person when you go through a crisis you should be calling on is Jesus. Because let me be real. I don't know why. This is something that bothers me when people are in church and you answer your phone and they call you and say somebody's being rushed to the hospital. I don't even know what you think you're going to do. Without God's power and intervention, you can't do anything anyway. Let's just be real. Because if God don't want that person to be here, you can't stop it. So stop stressing yourself over nonsense. Because one of the biggest problems we have, we let situations rock us when we should be letting situation know that I have the power to change the storm. I have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed to move mountains because I am a believer. If you know who you are and whose you are, you won't be shaken, because a lot of us don't know who we are and whose we are. That's why we are shaken by every little circumstance and every little issue that goes on around us and to us. Believers, I strongly believe that we are to recommit our relationship with God in 2021. Many of us, if we truly investigate our relationship with God, we are lacking in a lot of things. You haven't prayed like you're supposed to. You haven't studied like you're supposed to. You haven't seeked him like you're supposed to. But let me tell you, to be real, this is the season that you can't go to heaven on your pastor's faith. You can't go to heaven on my relationship. It is an individual walk, and God is calling each believer out to get yourself together. Because you think that this pandemic is what shakes us. There's other stuff coming that will shake you if you're not rooted and grounded. This is only the beginning of sorrow, says the word of God. It is only the beginning of trouble. It is only the beginning of what's foretaken to come. So you've got to arm yourself. You've got to put on the full armor of God. You've got to be ready to fight the good fight of faith. You've got to be ready to stand and to withstand against every attack of the enemy. Because salvation is free. But you got to be able to stand and keep it. You got to go through some stuff to keep it. You got to stand when nobody else wants to stand with you. You've got to pray when nobody else wants to pray with you. You got to seek when nobody else wants to seek with you. It's an individual thing. You've got to prepare yourself for what's coming. Prepare yourself for what's coming. Because we all thought as the turning of the 2021, everything was just going to walk away. Everything was just going to be fine. We're going to go back to normal. God says there won't be no normal unless I make it normal. I'm shaking everything that you idolize, everything that you worship, everything that you put before me, everything that we seem to gravitate to, the materialism, the materialistic things and people, places, issues, and situations. God said, I am the only God that I want you to worship. And I'll bring you to your knees, even if I have to strip you from everything. We have to be prepared for what's coming. When life situations comes in our life and the storms of life, we've got to know that we have to keep our eyes on Jesus through it all. Through it all. And let me tell you something. What you are going through, somebody else already been through. If you look in the Word of God, many of the men and women of God have gone through the same things we are dealing with today. But they have faith in God. They trust God. They relied on God. They endure hardness as a good soldier. They pursued God. No matter what the cost was. Look at all the disciples. They walked away from all their materialism and gave up their lives and gave up everything to serve Christ. Look at Paul. Look how many issues and situations he has been through. Been shipwrecked. Almost killed so many times. But he kept on moving forward. He kept on seeking God. He kept on preaching the gospel. He kept on ministering. He kept on doing what God has called him to do. As soon as a little issue happened to us, I'm not going back to church no more. We get a little ill. I'm tired of God. He ain't healing me because it's a lack of your faith. God want to heal you. But he says, it is your faith be ye whole. Isn't that what he told the people in the Bible when they came to him for healing? Do you believe? Do you believe? Because all things are possible if we would just believe. If. See the word if. He said anything you pray, believing, asking God in prayer. If you believe it, you have already received it. The problem is that you don't believe it. That's why you're not receiving it. Receiving from God takes faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you're not studying and hearing the word of God, how will your faith increase? Just coming here on Sunday to get the word, that's not just it. There's 6 other days of the week, you know. I know you eat every day, so you should be feeding your spirit man every day. The same way. We have more time watching TV. We give more time to doing everything else. But what's going to really keep us with God? We spend more time gossiping than studying the word of God. We spend more time tearing down one another than studying the word of God. We spend more time watching these talk shows or whatever these shows are, like Hip Hop of Atlanta and all this foolishness, and they're already wealthy and going straight to hell. We've got to get back to the basic. The basic is reading the word of God, studying the word of God, seeking God, and praying and fasting. How many of us are on the 21 days fasting? this year. How many of us? All believers should be in this house. All of us. It's corporately. I know some of us have situations with health issue. I understand that some of us do. But if you're healthy and you can do it, you should be doing it. Because God will begin to show you yourself and help you out. There's some people that need you to continue to fast and pray for them. Because there's some people right now that have some strongholds that need to be destroyed, not broken, to be destroyed. Because sometimes when you break something, you can put it back together. But if you destroy it from the root, pluck it up, it won't come back up. It's just like a tree. When you dig cut a tree down, if you cut the root and leave the root, it can grow back. But if you pluck it up from the root, it can never come back. You got to pluck some things up from the root of the thing and send it back to the pits of hell. Let's begin to investigate our text. Matthew, the 14th chapter, 26 through 28, we see that before, let's just set the stage. Before this, Jesus and the disciples were there ministering. Jesus was ministering to 5,000 plus people, plus women and children, and he fed them food. So with just 5 loaves and 3 fishes. So when you look at that story, that's a miracle all by itself. So now that we come to this part, Jesus was setting up the disciples for what he was getting ready to do. It's just like us. God saves us. God delivers us. God works in our lives. And as he do miracles after miracles, and he shows us things to increase our faith and to build us. And now as Jesus was building the disciples in faith, they are some of just like us, because when Jesus began to walk on the water, immediately they thought he was a spirit or a ghost. And so as they see Jesus, they became afraid. And so Jesus cries, I said, it is I, Jesus, that is walking on water. So now they are stunned and say, oh, he's walking on water. He just performed the miracle with the bread and the fish. Now he's walking on water, which has never happened. Even to the normal mind of us, when we think about something like that, it is unheard of. And so as Jesus began to do this, and as he walked on the water, Peter sees him, and Peter is one of the disciples that's always anxious to say something, always anxious to do something, always anxious to see something. So Peter automatically says to Jesus, Jesus, if it's you, bid me to come. So Jesus says, come. So he begins to walk on water, and then what has happened? The wind that was going on as he was walking on water got him shook. It's just like us. We are walking rightfully before God, and as soon as something hit, we take our eyes off of God and we start to sink. So Peter begins to sink, and Jesus, he cries out to Jesus, just like us. Whenever we're going through a storm or an issue, we cry out to God, and he brings us out of whatever that situation is. Jesus takes his hand and takes back Peter, and then they go into the boat. And he says to him, ye of little faith. Because Peter should have had enough faith to believe God, because he was already walking on water. That's against gravity. He was walking on water, just like many of us. We are walking upright before God. But as soon as something hit us, we forget what God has done for us before. The miracles we have seen before. That's why it's important to keep a journal. When you are depressed or upset or going through a situation, you can go back to the journal and say, God delivered me there. God, I remember when you healed me from cancer. God, I remember when you delivered me from drugs. God, I remember when I didn't have a home, but now I have homes. God, I remember when you healed my children. God, I remember when you said this and that and you performed it. See, you got to write down things that God has done for you, because the enemy's job is to get you to forget. Because how does he build your faith? With the word of God and with what he has already done for you. Because it's a record to prove to you, if he did that, he can do this. And he can do that, and he will do that. Because he's a God of promise. He said, I will never give you something that I cannot do for you. Because I am the that I am that I am. He said, I know all things and can do all things. And so it is important for us as believers to keep our hearts and our minds on God and to be focused. Focus is very important. Peter was bold enough to step out on faith. Many of us in here need to step out on faith. Many of us in here, God has called you to own your own business. God has called you to do certain things for him, but you are waiting on somebody else. Stop waiting and step out on faith. God is calling you to step out on faith. As Peter saw the waves and the winds, he became scared and feeling just like many of us, when we are stepping out on faith, we start thinking about the what ifs. Stop thinking about the what ifs and the buts. And start thinking, he can. And he will. And we're going to make it. It's going to happen. It will happen. It shall happen. Decree it and speak it in the atmosphere. Say it, it's going to happen. It may not be in my time, but it's going to be in God's time. Trust to know that he is an on-time God. He may not be when you want him, but he'll surely be on time. The physical sense of Peter begins to think about what was going on in the wind as he began to walk on the water. Peter began to start feeling afraid, and Jesus caught him and bring him in. And it's just like any other person, the wind and the waves and the circumstances of life sometimes overtake us. That's why Jesus says, bring me your burdens and your yokes, because mine is easy and light. Give me your worries. Give me your issues. Give me what's pondering your heart that's keeping you up at night. Give me what is causing you to be stressed out, to be aggravated, to don't want to talk to nobody. Give me what you can't handle, because I'm more than able to handle it. We have a God that is so awesome that he can deal with your problem and my problem and your problem and all our problems at the same time and never lose sleep. That's the type of God we serve. But we got to trust him. Many of us say we're giving it to God, and by the time we leave the altar, we done already picked it back up. Leave it at the altar. Leave it in your prayer closet. Leave it where you prayed and left it. Trust him enough to work it out. Trust him enough to turn that situation around. The lesson we have to learn is that doubt and fear often grip the believers because we lack the spirit of trust. We lack the spirit of faith, because faith cometh by hearing. We don't let the word of God permeate in our hearts and in our minds enough so that we can build our faith. We want to ride on Bishop's faith. I'm not going to ride on Bishop's faith. I'm going to ride on my faith, because at the end of the day, I may not be able to reach Bishop one day, and I might need to call him for myself. We have to have our own relationship. And that's the problem with believers. That's why many of us are not really healed. Because you want to come up, or you want me to pray for you, but you don't believe. Make me sweat. Making me go up in the third heavens. And then the Holy Ghost said, they don't believe, so why are you up here? They got to believe. Because I can do it for you. But it's according to your faith. It's according to your faith. Do you truly believe that God can do it? Not just saying it, but believing it. Standing on faith with it. Even if you go back to the doctor and they say the cancer is still there, do you still believe God that he can heal you? Do you still believe that your blood pressure, you can stop taking blood pressure medicine? Do you still believe that God can heal you mentally or physically, spiritually or emotionally? Even when the doctors say, this is what we see, but that's not what God sees. One of the biggest fear Christians have is going to the doctor. I like going. Because you know why? I get to stun them if they say something about my health. Because I got to let you know that I serve a God that can do miracles overnight. I serve a God that can perform surgery inside of my internal organ if there's something wrong. I serve a God that performed the first surgery in the book of the Bible. I know a man from Galilee that can heal all of my diseases. He said, by your stripes am I healed. And I'm not just saying it, but I believe it. Because he'd done it before. He has done it before. Wasn't feeling well one Sunday morning. This was like the first Sunday morning I ever missed church. And I was so ill. So ill. And I called upon the Lord. I said, Lord, if you're going to take me now. Because this is too much pain. And I prayed and I prayed. And the Lord healed me. Healed me. So I know him as a healer. So you can't tell me God can't heal. You can't tell me God can't go in your body and take out that high fever that you got. That high temperature. Come on now. He's a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper. We sing it, but do we believe it? But when Peter kept his focus, he could do so many miracles when he kept on focusing on Jesus. We are all like Peter in the midst of a storm. The first thing that happened to us, because it's human nature, we try to solve it. We try to rectify it. We try to call people and say, hey, can you help me do it? When we should be just turning to Jesus. Turning to Jesus. We start acknowledging everybody else. We get distracted by the situations around us. We get distracted because we start off good when we are going through a storm sometimes. But in the middle of the storm, when the breakthrough is almost there, you want to give up. You want to give a heart. You want to let go. You want to walk away. And God is just about to deliver. And you walk away from your deliverance. You just got to keep, because at the heat of the battle, I can tell you something. When God is about to finish, give you your blessing, it's when the enemy turns up the heat the most. That's when the heat is turned up. That's when everything starts going haywire. That's when the bills start coming down on you. That's when the kids start acting up. That's when sickness starts coming in your family. That's when people start calling you and all. That's when the miracle is about to take place. You got to know the signs of your miracle. One of the greatest experiences that I've had, and then this is something that I've learned over the years, and even with being a believer, is that when situations happen, I don't react like how my wife reacts. My wife, I remember one night, my daughter, my oldest daughter, was not well, and you know, she had a high temperature and everything. And my wife said, we gotta bring her to the emergency room. I said, they're just gonna give her medicine. And I started praying. And she said, you don't react like I'm reacting. You ain't doing. Listen to me. I've been walking with God long enough. I don't need to freak out. I know who he is. I lay hand on that child. We went down there to make her feel better. I was already better. I'm not stressed out. She stressed out. I'm, you know, going crazy. I'm not going. Listen, I know God. In a few hours, they gave her the same medicine I have at home. That cost me a whole lot more money. And I prayed for her, and she was all right. But the thing about it is, how I react to a situation is because of my relationship with him. Her reaction is with the relationship with him. And I understand that she's a mother. Mothers react differently. But in situations, I don't freak out. Like she would say, you don't react certain way. Listen, I know that I don't react that way. I've been walking with God too long for him to fail me now. I know him for myself. And I know I have a relationship. When I pray, he hears me. Even before I open my mouth, he already got the answer. Because that's your relationship. That's your relationship. When you have a relationship with him, you know over the course of years you've been walking with him, you know that he can do the impossible. But that takes time. That takes trusting God. That take him at his word. And then you got to be able to know the word to say, God, you said in your word that you said. When you bring God's word back to him, he cannot negate his responsibility to you. He will always come through. But you got to know your word. When you know the word, the enemy cannot ever win the victory. You got the victory, but you got to know the answer to the problem that you're dealing with. Just like if you're sick, you call on God to be Jehovah Rapha. You go and look at scriptures for sicknesses and diseases. Because look at the woman with the issue of blood. All she did was touch the hem of his garment, and she was healed. And I truly believe that's some form of cancer, because no physician in that time could heal them. All the medication, all the scientists we have, they still cannot fully find an antidote for that. But I know who got the true antidote to it. Jesus Christ. Because if we put our trust in him, he can heal us. There's people walking around right now that's a walking testimony. That's been healed from so many different things in this one place alone. This one place alone. We won't even go to another church. These are, y'all, if each one of you are a walking miracle, a walking miracle, all the stuff God has done in your life, all the places that God rescued you from, all the situation that God has delivered you from, come on now. Come on now. You are a walking miracle all by yourself. You are another epistle just been written by the power of the Holy Ghost. Each and every one of you. You are God's ambassador. That's why he continues to do what he does for you. Because he first loved you more than enough to send his only begotten son, that you may live and have an abundant life. So we must be careful of the distractions of life. Jesus is one of, being distracted away from Jesus is one of the most dangerous things we can ever do. Because the enemy is seeking whom he may devour, walking about, seeking to devour us. He ain't playing games no more. You may think that one sin that you're playing with back and forth, it may be your last time. You keep playing Russian roulette with the gun. Eventually, when the click goes off, the bullet will hit you. You don't want the bullet to hit you. Stop playing with your life. You only got one life to live. Keep our eyes on Jesus. Rarely is easy. Our fleshly nature conspires against our attempt to remain faithful to the Savior. We can forget that our reward with Christ himself wanders off into vain pursuit of things. We can allow the cares of this world to push us away from the Lord instead of looking to him in the midst of our pain and difficulty. We can let hurt, troubles, and even things of ministry distract us to the ultimate, away from the ultimate prize of Christ alone and eternal life. When we keep our eyes on Jesus, we have nothing to worry about, for he knows every need we will ever have. Every need. Matthew, the 14th chapter, 24 verse says, and the boat was already considerable distant from land, buffed by the waves because the wind was against it. That meaning that there was heavy waters, winds, and rain, and the circuit of the boat was being shaken, tossed to and fro. Many of us right now are being tossed to and fro. Many of us are inside of the boat, but our boat is tossing. Some of our things that are tossing in our boat is the loss of job, home, mortgage failure, stock market crash, recession, drought, flood, sicknesses, diseases, pandemic. Jesus is never caught off guard or by surprise. He knows human propensity to worry. But when we worry about the future, we borrow troubles from tomorrow and ruins today. When we keep our eyes on Jesus, we know that we can depend on him, for he is the God of all events, all circumstances, all issues, all situations. Brothers and sisters, whatever you are facing, if you focus on the circumstances will overwhelm you. And we all know that to be true. Because whenever we are stressed out or worried about a situation, you start to have a migraine. You start feeling a panic attack. You start feeling fear. You start feeling issues. You start having health issues. Why is that? Because that is of the enemy. These circumstances will overpower you and they will swallow you up. Jesus invites each and every one of us, saved and unsaved, to accept him and let him deal with those issues and situations. He asks you to step out on faith. But he gives you success only when you keep your eyes focused on him. You will become consumed by your circumstance if you choose to focus on them, like Peter. Peter sinked only when he began to focus on what was going on around him. We often focus on what's going on around us instead of focusing on the one who is the author and the finisher of our faith. But if we choose to return our gaze to Jesus as Peter did, he can lift us back up so that we are above the storm once again. Remember, Jesus did not move from where he was. Peter's focus is the one that moved. Many times, it is not God has moved away from us. It is us that has moved away from God. God don't leave you. You leave God. The only way Peter adjusted his focus back to Jesus did, he received divine intervention he desperately needed. What do we do in the midst of the storms of life, brothers and sisters? The Bible teaches that the only way to rise above our circumstances is to put our focus on Jesus. Keep our eyes on him. No matter what you may be going through, you might depend on him for everything. Whether you're struggling with a personal issue, relationship problem, health issues, whatever it is that's going on in your life, you've got to put your trust in him. Jesus is the answer and the antidote to every issue, every problem, every situation, every trial, every circumstance that you will ever deal with. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is it all that you need. He is the sum total. You don't need Buddha. You don't need me, but you need total oneness of Jesus Christ. You need all of Jesus. And I guarantee you, you will make it through. Unfortunately, we may even try to figure it out. Many of us right now, we're trying to figure out how we're going to do this, how we're going to do that. When God has said, come to me. Come to me. Just like he told Peter. He said, Peter, come to me. He said, come to me. Come to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. And as Peter was sinking, just like many of us are sinking right now, and because of pride, because of whatever you may think that's going on, that you may think that nobody else is going through the same thing you're going through, but you don't want to trust God enough to let God deal with it for you, and you're sinking. All you need to do is call out, Jesus, I need your help. Jesus, I need your help. And he won't say no. He listens to his children. He's attentive to his children. He knows each and every one of us, and he knows how to deal with each and every one of us and our situations, that it's so awesome that we have that type of a God. Hebrews 12:1-3 said, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders us. The sins that so easily entangle us with the yoke of bondage, let us run with perseverance the race that have been marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and loss of heart. Weary. Some of us are weary. Some of us are worn out. Some of us are worried about what's coming next. But if you have Jesus, you don't have to worry. That's why I don't understand why Christians are fearful of dying. You shouldn't be afraid. You should be afraid of those who don't have Christ, because you know you have an eternal hope in Jesus Christ. When you die, you will be able to sit with him and be with him and receive your crown. But if you ain't do no work, you ain't gonna get no stars. Let me just tell you now. Works are very important in this season. The scripture that was very powerful, and fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. The Greek word fix contained the idea of concentrating or gazing or focusing on your attention on an object. The person that we need to focus on is not our leaders, but on God. It's not the government, but on God. It's not on the job, but on God. It's not on the children, but on God. Not on the make, but on God. Keep your focus on Jesus. Keep your focus on Jesus. The circumstances that we're dealing with right now, it's come to distract us, to cause us to walk away from Christendom. I've never heard of somebody who have been in Christ for 20-something years, and then this is the time you want to walk away? Come on now. You should be so well in God that we can't even pull you out of the arms of God. This is the time you should be encouraging the younger saints, telling them, keep moving, keep going, keep enduring, keep trusting, keep faith, because more difficult times are coming. I don't care what the government say. I don't care what Biden say. He can't change the economy. Only God can. He can send you all the stimulus check he wants, but I dare you to let you know this house has never lacked, not one of us, because we are under the covenant of Jesus Christ. He is our son. He owns everything. We got to really trust in God. Because if we trust in this governmental system that has failed us over and over and over and over and over again, but God will never fail you. God will never fail you. Never. He's that type of God. I remember when the Hebrew boys, the three boys, they were placed inside of the fire. And they even said, even if he don't do it, I know he is still well able. And Jesus, the Holy Spirit, stepped in, and while they were inside of the fire, with them, like many of us right now are in the fire, and he's in there with you. Just hold on a little bit longer. Hold on a little bit longer. Your miracle is just the next person. Your name is next to be called. The next opening is yours. The next door to be opened is yours. The next window, the next opportunity is yours. Just don't give up yet. Just keep believing. Just keep trusting. Just keep believing. And you got to realize, when he start blessing, he ain't going to just bless one of us. He's going to bless all of us. Because if he bless you, you're next in line. 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 He's always blessing, blessing, blessing. And that's the type of God we serve. And he ain't, listen to me, I ain't got to be jealous of you. Because I know, I'll celebrate with you. Because I know if you got it, I'm next to get it. Maybe my name is next. Maybe your name is next. I celebrate with you until my name comes on the roll. That's the type of God we serve. We got to keep believing and trusting and fixing our eyes on him and keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. And how do we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ? Bible study. Prayer. Studying the word of God. Prayer, servicing, intercession, living for Christ, truly giving up our all and all to serve him. Let me tell you something. God will not withhold any good thing from you. Let me just tell you, If you desire a house, God will bless you with a house. If you desire grandkids or whatever the situation is, he'll bless you with it. Because he ain't going to withhold no good thing from us. Nothing. Nothing. There is nothing that I do truly believe that the people in the Bible asked for that they did not get. Look at Solomon. He asked for one thing, and he had so many. He only asked for wisdom to deal with God's people. God gave him houses, castles, all these things. And it's the same thing for us. You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about the promotion. Put it before God in prayer and watch God work it out. But you got to be ready to receive it. It may not be in that company that you're with. He may move you to a different place. So you got to be flexible to the answer. One of us, we're rigid. We ask, but we don't want it the way God wants to give it. Because when God gives it, it's not according to how we want it. Because sometimes you ask God for shoes, and he give you the right shoe, but you don't like that shoe. But if you wear that shoes long enough, you find out that shoes is helping your arthritis and the swelling in your foot. But you don't like it when you first got it. But when you learn why God gave it to you, now you understand why he gave that particular one. And that's the problem with believers. He knows what you can handle. He knows what you can't handle. He knows how you deal with things. So he ain't going to put you in a place that's going to embarrass him. That's the type of God we serve. So be careful when you ask. Ask him also, give me the understanding and the flexibility to receive the answer that you will give me. Because thy will be done will be perfect for me. My will cause issues and situation, but your will is always the perfect thing. Your will is always the right thing. Because he said all good and perfect gifts come from and added, know what? All right, come on now. That's why I don't understand when saints do overtime on Sunday. Why? You just paid the government that money. You ain't helping yourself. When you look at your checks, all of that went to taxes. So you might as well have just came to church. You might as well have just came to church. Let's just be real. That's the trick of the enemy to think, oh, I'm going to go ahead. That's going to help me to pay that extra bill. I would rather pray and let God pay the bill than work. And then all of it went to taxes. Can I tell you a secret that I learned over the few years God has taught me? If you work 10 hours of overtime, that's for you. After 10 hours, that's the government's. So stop working. It don't make no sense. Because all of it will go to taxes. So you think you're getting ahead, and what the enemy is doing just keep you to follow after, and you keep doing it and doing it. And then when you look at it, you say, what happened? I worked all this overtime. Oh, here it is, and went to taxes. And then when your tax return comes, you think you're going to get it back, you ain't going to get it back. He taught me that lesson real quick. He said, you ain't got to work like that. I will take care of you. Because at the end of the day, all you're doing is going into the plan of the trick of the enemy to cause you to lose focus on what I want you to do and serving and doing what you had to do. If you pray to me, I will open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing that you will not have enough room to receive it. If you're faithful in giving your tithe and your offering, I will do what I said I'm going to do. I said, I will remove the devourer for your sake. There is nothing that we cannot do when we are faithful in doing what God tells us to do. He has the prescription for the situation we have. When you give your tithe, you don't have to worry about that. You ain't got to worry about that. Any bill that come up on you, I guarantee you God will pay it. Some of us right now have miracles that when we call the company that send us the bill, they said, you have a negative balance. Some of you, they said, we have a refund for you. We're sending you a check. That's God. Because you were faithful in doing what God tells you to do. Come on now. How many of that ever happened to? Come on. Because that's the type of God we serve. When you're faithful in giving what God tells you to do, he already knows what's coming ahead. So he has already prepared you for it. That's why I don't understand why Christians hold the dead present. He's already dead. You can't kill him no more. Loose him so God can loose you. Just release it. That's just a nugget. That's not even in the message. I'm coming down. So it's very important that we trust God in everything and everything. And that's what we need to do to keep our eyes on Jesus this 2021. Keep focused, studying the Word of God, praying, and in our service. Service. And I'm going to say that again. Service. What are you doing for God? What are you doing for God? Because at the end of the day, it's not our titles that get us in the kingdom of God. Is who that does the will of God. And many of us have sat on the sidelines long enough. God wants you to get up. There's a lot of work to be done. There's people dying around us that we never share the gospel about. People don't even know you saved because you are a cusser. People don't even know you saved because every issue that's going on your job, you in it. They can't even recognize that you saved. It's time for you to get it together and share the word of God with those people. They are dying. Some of them are hurting in the inside. Some of them are being abused by their mates. Some of them have lost their mind and they're bugged out. They need you to pray for them. They need you to intercede for them and their children. They need you. So it's time for us to stop playing church and become the church. Are you doing for Christ? Think about that and ask God to show you what to do. Not what you're doing in front of the pastor. Not what you're doing for the first lady to see. Is what you're doing for Christ. Because pastor and first lady does not have a crown or a heaven and hell to put you in. But I guarantee you, God has a book and he's writing. And he's writing, and he's writing everything that you, every day that you have the opportunity, every time that you have the opportunity, he's writing. Many of us, we will hear, enter in, depart, I knew you not. But God, I don't know you. You didn't speak to nobody about me. You didn't help feed nobody. You didn't do this that I told you to do. You weren't faithful in doing this. You didn't do what I called you to do. You sat down on the gifts that I gave you and didn't accomplish your assignment. You was watching so-and-so. You was too busy being nosy than being about your own business, about being about the Father's business. We've got to get ourselves together. 2021 is a year of getting it together. Get it together. Everybody's looking to the church. They're looking to us for the answers. You know what the answer is? Jesus. You know what the answer is? Jesus. You know what the answer is? Jesus. The way, the truth, and the life. He is the way, he has the truth, and he will give them life. That's the answer. They want it. But are we willing to give it? Are we ready to serve? Let's stand. I'm going to end it here. I think I'm over my time.